this message here should be in your, you know, in your Christian Rolodex. It should be one of those ones that you reference continually. When I talk about the family of God, immediately in your mind you begin to conjure up preconceived ideas, pre-experience, you know, good or bad, we go to previous experience. When we talk about the family, if I were to ask you what family you belong to, I asked a girl the other day, let me just take a pause that. I feel like I need to release this word. I was speaking with somebody last night, and he said, listen, God has put me in a position where I've asked him for great things, and he's astonishing me with how quickly he's responding to my request by faith for these great things. And I'm poised at a position in life where God's releasing me financially to have freedom like I've never had before. And immediately this morning I was sitting and I thought, that word's not just for you, that word's for everyone. That God's positioning you in your life, he's poising you in such a way that the thing that used to keep you and restrict you will restrict you no longer, but it's contingent upon your willingness to ask him for great things by great faith. It's ask and you shall receive, and there has to be this moment where you jump. You jump, and you jump without a parachute too. There's no backup plan, but faith is activated by jumping where there's no plan in place. You just trust God with what he said, and you move. And God said, when my people will do that, I will release into their lives a freedom that they've never known before, and there will be joy there. There'll be joy there, amen? So I just wanted to release that. In Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, when I talk about the family, no doubt you, in your mind, you conjure up all of these ideas and these feelings, you know, whether they were good or bad, what you've experienced in your life and what family, how you define family. I would ask you to forget about all of that right now. I would ask you to, with your best heart and best mind, try not to do that. Because if we do that, what we're trying to do and what we do is we define this by that. Listen to me. We define this experience by that experience. You say, I had a good one. It still pales in comparison to what this should look like. You say, I had a good father. It still pales in comparison to what the Father of eternity has in plan for you, his original intent for you. It still lacks the power and the genuineness of your Father over your life. It pales in comparison. You say, it was miserable. Well, then good. I understand that. They understand that God restores all things, and this doesn't represent that. This right here defines that. That doesn't define this. This defines that, and that is fallen and broken. But this isn't. This isn't. Okay. Isaiah 9:6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Be upon his shoulders. A son is given. A child is born. We associate this particular text with Christmas. We speak of the Savior's birth, the child being born, and we know they're referencing Christ in this because the C is capitalized. If you're ever wondering when you read your Bible, who are they talking about? If it's capital, they're talking about Jesus. The child is born. The son is given. And the government shall rest upon his shoulder. So first I want you to see that that child that is born had to be born. And by his sacrifice, by his willing to sacrifice, he became the Son of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world. And when that happened, something happened. Something was released to the creation of God that previously wasn't released to the creation of God. The Son had to be given to the world for a reason. And we miss this, you know, we miss this because we make our existence on life about going to heaven rather than bringing heaven. We make our church fellowship about one day, by and by, we shall see, you know, we'll cross over this Jordan into there, you know. And we sing these songs and they're theologically jacked up. It's just not right. You look through the scriptures and what you'll notice is that Jesus spoke more about bringing heaven here than you and I going there. He did. He did. I mean, everywhere he went, he brought it here. He brought it here. See, because he had to be born a child. He had to be born a child in the likeness of you and I. But it says that that child, at one point, at some point, the prophet here doesn't give us any indication. He just switches gears suddenly, and now this child has become a son. And when that child becomes a son, something happens and is released through him becoming a son. And it says, upon his shoulders, the government will be. The government will be upon his shoulder. Wait a minute, prophet. Wait a minute, prophet. What are you talking about? What government? We were talking about children here. We were talking about children being born. I'm still not sure what you mean. It seems like you repeated yourself. You said child and son. They're the same thing. No, they're not. No. They're drastically different. I say that this morning to tell you, you are a gift to this world. Every person in here born is a gift. You were born a child. We were born children, right? You were born again, a son and a daughter. On that day when you were born a child, you were released to the world. You were here. But on the day when you received Christ, because of his sacrifice, the Son of glory, because of his sacrifice, by faith in that sacrifice, you now have the privilege to become a son and a daughter. And it says of Jesus that when Jesus showed up, something showed up with him. Something was released to creation when the Son was released. When he became the Son, something came to the earth. And that thing that came to the earth was the government of heaven. So from now on, I want you to reference this family of God as the government of heaven. Because when Jesus became the Son of God, he was bestowed a kingdom. He was bestowed a kingdom and he was released to the earth to govern it. You catch that? He was released. He was given to the earth. For what? Why was he given to the earth? He was born. Why wasn't it just sufficient enough for him to be born in the likeness of man with flesh and blood? Because he had to be born of heaven to release the government of heaven to earth. So then when he was born by his sacrifice as the Son of glory, suddenly this government was where? It was upon his shoulders. When he became a son, government was released to the world. Now look around. You think about that idea. And you think about the notion of government. What is government? What is this government that Isaiah was speaking of? What does government do? I mean, think in your mind, what does government do? It brings order, structure. It brings law. It brings law. It brings law. It brings law. It brings a superior law. It brings righteousness and justice. That's what government does, right? Well, we'd have a tough time defining that based upon what our government does. But the government of heaven, this is the order of government. What government does is it stands in the face of injustice and it declares the righteousness and the freedom of where it comes from, what it represents. When U.S. Marines land on the shores, wherever they at, they represent a government. They represent the government of the United States of America. And when they land on those shores, they declare, I am here to enact justice to injustice. I am here to make right the wrongdoings that are on the shores of this foreign country. I have come to liberate those who are oppressed, those who suffer genocide. We have shown up on the shores of this nation and we are here to make right the wrongs done to it by dictators that are evil. And you and I, when Jesus was released to the world, there was a government that was resting upon his shoulders that has now been transferred to your shoulders and my shoulders. And when that government came upon your shoulders, you showed up on the shores of a nation whose crime has reached the heavens. And it says of us that we are here. We are here now to enact government. We've shown up on the shores of this great nation, this foreign nation.
Yes.
Because we've been born of another country. You were born a child to America, wherever you're from. You were born a son to the government of heaven, to the kingdom of heaven, to the King of glory, to the one who knows no sin. You were born a son to the Father of eternity. And when you were born a son, you were released to the world to govern the creation of your Father, of your Father. Your Father has a creation, and he has given you to the world. For what? Not to wait for one day, someday, in the by and by, when you get to that place where you belong. But he released you to this place, this foreign place, to you and I. To govern it, to bring justice to injustice, to look at the face of injustice and say, that's my business. That's my business. I've shown up on the shores of a nation where injustice exists. God has sent me here to make right the wrongdoings of this place. There's the oppressed, and there's those that are suffering genocide. And God has sent you and I. He's given us as a gift to the world to say, go make right the wrongs. Go set at liberty those who are oppressed by the enemy. So he gives you government. You became a son and a daughter on that day. And when you did, something happened to you. Something happened to you that makes you ache inside, that makes your spirit stay awake at night, that makes you look at the news with such a deep groaning in your spirit. Your spirit, this is what Paul meant when he said, I groan with utterings from the spirit at the injustice of the government of this world. And I realize the enormity of my assignment here. So therefore my spirit groans within me at the injustice, at the hatred, at the raping and murdering and the pillaging of God's creation. And so I must go now, and I must govern rightly. I must divide the word of truth with equity. I must go down. I must set liberty to those who are captive. It says it's upon his shoulders. It said that government is upon his shoulders. That when Jesus came, government came with him. The weight of heaven was on his shoulders. The weight of justice was on his shoulders. On him. Resting on him. Imagine, get it? On him. The weight to satisfy the judgment of the Father's creation that has been tarnished by the enemy in hell's release into the creation of the Father. He is now released to the earth, and he feels the weight of it. That cross, he felt the weight of sin upon him in every place. Then he bore the cross, hung on it, as if to say, justice is served. Justice is served. The weight of the government now satisfied by my sacrifice. Justice is served. It is finished. Spent a couple days in death's grip and then rose victorious to say, you and I now can be called sons and daughters of God. And the same weight of that government now rests. I declare you feel the weight of the government of heaven that you can't sleep. That you feel it. Now this answers some questions, doesn't it? This answers some questions as to why the groanings of the Lord, why the injustice of the earth, they grip us. And you feel the weight of it, don't you? Some of us can't sleep, and some of us are frustrated. Some of us, that frustration, listen to me. I want you to take that frustration and that weight that you feel. And from this day forward, I want you to understand that when you feel that weight, when you feel the injustice in the earth, recognize that you have been now released. You are anointed now to bring justice to that area as a son or a daughter. That weight you feel, you're stepping in. Every place you go, you know, just listen to me. Every place you go, you... you walk onto the shore, You're carrying government with you. You're carrying law with you. You're carrying justice with you. No matter where you go, the school, they tell you you can't go there. It doesn't matter where they say you can't go or where you can't go, because it's on your shoulders. It's right there, and you carry it with weight. And everywhere you go, everybody else can see it, but sometimes you ignore it. Sometimes you pretend like it's not there. You try to suppress it. You try to push it down. You say, God, don't let me feel this anymore. I don't want this burden anymore. I don't want this any longer. Don't make my heart cry over a nation, third world, about 2 hours away from America, from where we sit now. Don't make me feel that way about Haiti. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to feel that anymore. I don't want to see that injustice anymore. But it won't go away. It stays there, and it calls to you, and it says, bring justice, bring justice, bring justice to the oppressed. You have a government. You're given to the earth. It's challenging. It's challenging because it won't allow you to sit there. It won't allow you to just sit there anymore. That's how you know the difference. No, I'm not going to change that. I'm going to move on. Your gift, your government, when it's released to the earth, it brings freedom. John 17, let's go to verse 22 first, then I'll go back to the other one. This is the thing. The glory which you gave me, Jesus talking here. Jesus said, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Come on, next verse. Follow me. I in them and you in me, Jesus still talking, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. Everybody say that. That the world may know. You've been giving something. There's something that you possess that when they see it, they know. They know. They can't figure out what it is, but they know. They look at you and they say, there is something that is identifiable upon your life. Right, Obi? There's something that's identifiable upon your life. And I can't figure it out, but you have something that others do not. That you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Just somebody needs to write that down. The Father loves you as he loves Jesus. Come on, that's powerful. Just the Father loves you as he loved Jesus. Woo! He loves you as he loves Jesus. You ever feeling insecure about your life? Just go read that text. The Father loves me as he loves the Son, who sits at his right hand in glory and makes intercession. Next verse. Father, I desire that... You know what? I'm going to stop there. So, this thing that you and I carry distinguishes us from others. And the thing that you and I carry sets us apart from everyone else and assigns us to the world to bring to it the government. And it qualifies us, and it arms us, it equips us, it puts the right artillery in your pocket for the job at hand. This glory. He said the same glory. You know, that glory that when I walked into the room and when I walked and I stood in front of the tomb where Lazarus was dead for 4 days. The same glory and the same government that was identifiable upon me is now the thing that distinguishes you to make you stand in front of any 4-day dead Lazarus in your life and declare to it, Lazarus, come forth. forth, the government I represent is superior to the government of Rome, to the government of this world. My government is greater than that government. So therefore, I release to you, dead Lazarus, the government of heaven. I release now and I call your name, not from this side. I call your name from that side because I come from there, and there is so much more superior than here, and it gives life to the dead. So Lazarus, get up and get going. Take your grave clothes off. We got somewhere to go. So if there's anybody in your life, anything in your life that's bringing a government that's lesser than the government you represent, you can look at the face of that person, that spirit, and say, I don't practice that government. That's not the government that governs me. That's not the government that governs my life. The doctors may say that, but you can look at the doctor and say, that's not the government that governs my life. I'm sorry, but I don't practice the government of this world because I've been born again. And when I was born again, I was born into another nation, to another place. And that place has caused me to come here as the governor of the earth, of God's creation. And to look at injustice and say, I don't practice that government. Now you look around. I have to settle in myself that I'm not leaving for a minute. There's this little thing in my mind that says, look at that clock. You got to go. So I'm just letting you know I'm processing that right now. So I'm going to take my time. Is that okay? So we look around, and what do we see? I mean, look at it. Look at the governments of this world, and what is occurring. Something happened a while ago. I'm not placing it on any particular generation, at least not publicly. Give me in private, I'll tell you the truth. See, this is why I get myself in trouble. Pastor Cynthia, there's foolishness happening in the world. There's injustice in the world. There is. You look around and you go, how is this so? Do they not got the good sense God gave to chickens? How do all of these foolish children sit up in a room for that long and not pass legislation to deal with injustice in their land? How can they ignore the injustice that exists? How can they look at such genocide and say and turn a blind eye? Or sit there and argue with one another about unjust laws that exist in the land? It doesn't make any sense. You and I, we watch CNN, we watch Fox News, and we scratch our heads and we go, this makes no sense. As a reasonable person, as a man who you know, has some sort of sense, I mean, a little bit. I'm not an educated man by any sense of the imagination, but I look at things and I go, I think I could solve some of these problems. I think I could help you. Why don't you give me a call and I can help you with this? Because obviously you are befuddled by child's play. I want to help you with this injustice. Why can't we pass? You see. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Man, this gray beard, the beard is strong, right? The beard game is strong. It signifies I got a little bit of wisdom. I gained a little bit, you know, with 42 years. So I'm going to shut up. Because we have released the government of God's, our Father's creation, to children. We got kids running stuff. Child, you got children running stuff where sons and daughters ought to have been running it. You got little kids running government, playing house up on Congress, playing house with the government, with the creation of the Father and His created people. You got kids passing gun legislation and pro-life or anti. You got kids running stuff, and we sit back and we wonder why things look so bad. You want to know why? Hand your checkbook to your child and see what it looks like at the end of the month. At the end of the month, you hand your checkbook to your child, you ain't gonna have no lights, you ain't gonna have no phone, you ain't gonna have no house. They're gonna come take it, because that child's gonna go write checks for himself. He's gonna go ride around on one of them little boogie board things. He's gonna go get himself, he's gonna go down to the candy shop, he's gonna do that, he's gonna go buy himself a new bike, a new scooter, a new everything. But I tell you what he's not gonna do, he's not gonna pay your bills, he's not gonna deal with the injustice in the land, he's gonna ignore it all, because children are taught to be selfish. Because it is in the nature of the unredeemed to be selfish, to serve themselves, to be a bureaucrat rather than a diplomat. You know the difference. You know the difference, right? You know the difference, right? Yeah, the difference is bureaucrats, they're there to serve themselves. But those who practice diplomacy, I wasn't going to say it. I was not going to say it. Them diplomats exist to serve their constituents. Them diplomats are represented. They're elected representatives. They've been elected. They've been elected and released to represent and serve. But when you got kids running stuff, now watch this, you got kids playing house. What happens when kids beget kids? You got children passing legislation. Yeah. You got children passing legislation on what it means to be married. You got kids passing laws. You got children passing laws that on the most sacred covenant the earth would ever know, that represents the Savior and His church. You got children passing laws that affect you and me as we live here, and they're passing laws that represent the most sacred covenant the earth knows. It represents Christ and His bride. Christ and His bride. And they, what do children do when they get to meddling with places they don't belong? They start perverting it. They start making it serve them. They start making it look like them. Children, we have stepped aside. The prophet said, when children run stuff, children have not been given government. He said, government belongs to sons, you and me. The government of heaven, to govern this world properly, it requires you and I. The government of heaven. Matthew 12, 43. Matthew 12, 43 says this: when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. Notice that he says, my house. Notice that the enemy says, my house. He's talking about a man. He's talking about a man, but then he says, when he's been kicked out, he's going to come back, and who? What does he say it is? That's my house. He claims you, and that lays a principle down that says, if you don't govern you, the enemy of your soul will. The devil will govern you. He will govern any space where there's a void. That means if you don't bring the government of heaven, the government of hell invades and claims it as their own. He looked at you and says, you belong to me now. And not only do you belong to me, but I'm going to make you so jacked up and ratchet. You're going to be so much worse than what you were at the beginning. I'm going to make you 7 times worse with hell than you were initially, because you won't govern your space. I'm going to come in and I'm going to set up shop down here. I'm going to set it up and I'm going to make it so bad. I'm going to annihilate generations upon generations upon generations upon generations. I'm going to annihilate and bring hell to the earth because you won't govern that which the Father has given to you. That's heavy. That's some heavy stuff. The question is this. What areas of your life are you not governing? What areas of your life have you refused to govern? Because if you won't govern it, the enemy of your soul will govern it for you. He'll find it. I can show you this. That wherever he sees an ungoverned territory, it's in Afghanistan. It happened last week in Afghanistan. We drew out. Guess what happened? They drew in. And they made that place worse. They made that place worse. Why? Because the government of the United States of America had come in and made it. And we had been there for so long. We were enacting justice. And suddenly we drew out. And what happened? The enemy drew in. Govern. So govern your space. Govern your space. I want to give you five keys quickly on how to govern like a son and a daughter. How to govern like a son and a daughter. Number one, know your authority. Luke 9:1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. First of all, you have to know your authority. As one, as a son and a daughter from a place that's superior to here, you have to know the authority of your government on foreign shores. You have to know that authority. Secondly, protect your borders. You've got to watch what you allow to enter your borders. Protect your heart. Protect your soul. Protect your mind. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If the government of heaven isn't occupying your thoughts, your soul, your heart, your mind, then guess what? The enemy will come in and he will occupy those and he will set up a government there. Govern. Watch your borders. Number three, implement foreign policy. You represent a kingdom that does not cower in fear. You represent government. There's policy on your shoulders when you arrive at a situation and you're not afraid of that. You don't cower in fear of that. You don't sit down at the face of injustice. You don't shut up because they threaten you. You don't sit back down. You don't take your spine out when you got saved. You have a spine now of steel. You've been sent to the earth. You have government and policy now. Implement foreign policy. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You have a law of the life of the spirit of Christ Jesus with you now. Implement it. Remain a servant. Number four, remain a servant to your constituents. You've not come to serve, but you've not come to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. Philippians 2:5-7 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, you are in the form of God. You understand that? You have the same form that Jesus did. You have the form of God. He didn't consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. You've been called to represent your constituents. Serve them. Serve this world. Serve it with honor and dignity and justice and equity. Number five, follow your king and not your president. I know. Follow your king, not your president. Listen, let me clean that up a little bit. Divided loyalties will divide your government. Divided loyalties will divide your government. You have government. Don't become loyal. Don't become loyal to policies of children. Don't become loyal to laws of children, government of children. Make sure you understand. Jesus always represented the third way. I'm not telling you not to love your president and pray for him. I'm telling you not to serve him as you do your king. You know, don't follow him as you will your king. Your king died for you. Your king loved you so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Your king died for you. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant to Christ. Amen. And in closing, I share this story with you, the power of connection. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. The ad read like this: Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office. Meet me in the front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. This speaks of the deep, deep, deep desire for every son and daughter to be connected to their father. For every son and daughter. And this is what the prophet Malachi said. The prophet Malachi said this in the closing chapters of the Old Testament. In the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi gets on the scene and he says this, and there's 500 years of silence. He said, there will come a day, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. There will be a day, he said, when sons and daughters will turn to me because the Father of eternity will turn to them. And on that day, the curse will be reversed. That on that day when the turning occurs, the curse of the earth, the curse of the earth is annihilated. You look around and you say, how is this happening? Why is this happening? Because if we're not turning, there's a curse that is released to the earth. The enemy comes in and he takes possession. The answer to reversing the curse is found in the connection to the Father. When you and I connect to our Father, government is released to His creation. Government comes as sons and daughters return. How do I turn? Turn. It just says, it's simply returning. Josh, go that way. Watch Josh. Hey, Josh. That's a turn. In that moment, it's that simple. In that moment, when your father whispers your name, when he calls your name and you turn, connection from heaven comes. Sonship, daughtership comes at the simple turn. It provokes us to say, when he calls, turn. Just turn. And when you turn, blessing is government. Government comes with you. Government of heaven comes to the earth when you and I turn. So, in 2016, let's covenant to do this thing. Turn. Turn at every whisper. Turn at every prompting of the Spirit. Turn. Turn to your Father. As soon as He whispers, turn. Because in that turn, I want you to understand that in that return, there is a release of power to the earth. There is justice being satisfied when you come to the Father. But if we ignore it, if we turn a blind eye to it, it remains. It remains. But if we turn, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, I'll come and I'll heal. I'll restore. All over. Father, we thank you, Lord, that as we turn to you in this moment, you heal. Our hearts turn to you because on that day your heart turned to us. We turn to you now, Father. Heal our land. Heal our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the government. Thank you for the authority and the power that rests upon my shoulders. I feel it. I sense it. I know it. I know that I'm a son. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, I want to give you the opportunity to come up here quickly as I leave. I want you to consider, if you've sponsored a Joshua kid in the past, I would ask you to consider sponsoring again. It means the world to these kids to be sponsored. So what I would encourage you to do, if you've never sponsored, you can change a life. Listen to me, you can change a life drastically by just taking one of these and filling out one of these and making a commitment financially. Whatever you can, making a commitment financially. Here's what we need you to do. When you do it, when you come forward, you take this, you fill this out. Don't take this home with you. Please don't do it. Because if you take this home with you, we don't know who you sponsored. And we need to know that every kid is sponsored. Amen? So when you come forward at the conclusion of service in just like 30 seconds, fill this out, take this with you. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet and close in prayer. I want to invite you now, as we close in prayer, to enter into a personal relationship with Christ. A personal relationship. Listen to me. A personal relationship. What does that mean? You hear it so often. Like, I want a personal relationship. That means, like, it's like this. Watch this. You don't share your toothbrush. Right? Anybody in here share their toothbrush? I don't care if it's your wife or not. You're not sharing your toothbrush. Jesus is like that. He wants you and him to have a relationship. Just you and him. And he'll do the rest of the governing. Like, it's up to him. But first, you have to be born again. When you're born again, you have this personal relationship with him. It's personal. He loves you. It's personal. And so in these closing moments, if you've never surrendered your life, if you've never taken on your sonship, you say, I've been born a child, but I've not been born a son or a daughter. If that's you, our altar ministers are going to come. They're going to go on the sides over here. And if that's you, you've never prayed that prayer, I want to pray it with you quickly. Amen. Let's close our eyes, bow our hearts. Father, thank you for anyone in here who's a child but not a son, that in these closing moments, Lord, they would call upon your name in faith and they would be born again as a son and a daughter. And when they're born again as a son and a daughter, the government of heaven rests upon their shoulders. Bless them today, God. Reveal your love to them. Make them alive like they've never been alive before. And perhaps the words of this sermon were piercing, but Lord, may the words of this sermon ring in their ears for eternity. And may they know the honor of becoming a son and a daughter and representing the government of eternity, of heaven. We bless you today. We surrender our hearts and we say, take my sin, I'll take your righteousness. Thank you for dying for me so I could live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. The altars are open. Please come and sponsor one of our Joshua kids.